We read today from the New King James Version, and we start reading at verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us this morning. We now thank God for Nate leading us this morning. May God bless you, Nate, as you bring the message.
Thank you, Pastor A. Let me just share my screen first to make sure that we can all see. Okay, so let's just open up the service just with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time that we have just to open up your word. Lord, I also pray that as I bring forth your word, Lord, that you speak through me, and I pray, Lord, that people will not see me preaching, Lord, but people will see you, Lord, Heavenly Father, with your word. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you just take control, and Lord, you just allow your Holy Spirit, Lord, to just dwell in this place as I bring forth your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So yes, so my theme today is the freedom in forgiving. Just before I start, just got a few questions. You don't need to answer them or put your hand up or say anything. It's just for you just to think about in this moment. So my first questions are, how long has it been since someone hurt your feelings or ripped you off? Or stolen from you, or slandered you, or gossiped about you, or just plain and simply offended you? Because I know even if just one of those things has happened to you, you would know about it as well. And if none of those have happened to you, then I want to know your secret of how not to have any of those things happen to any of us. But as we go on through life, sooner or later, you're going to be hurt by somebody that you've counted on, someone that you've kind of put your trust in them, someone that you've kind of thought would never do that to you or offend you. Sooner or later, you will be hurt by somebody that you've counted on. So this is Matthew 18, verse 7, so just a few verses before our main reading. So it says, "Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offenses come." So what this is basically trying to say, plain and simply, is you are going to be offended. And you are going to be offended sometimes. And sometimes it will be you that offend someone. So Jesus was saying here, for offenses must come. So it's basically part of the human race. It's part of being a human that offenses must come, as Jesus says here. So people may abuse you, betray you, disappoint you, or snub us. So it could happen anywhere, and it could happen to anyone. So again, I go to that part where it says, for offenses must come. So they're going to come either often or sometimes, and you might not be able to stop it or stop the offense coming. But there is one thing that you can do, and that is to forgive them. You might be saying, forgive them? After what they did to me? If only you knew what that person did to me, or what they said to me, or how cutting that remark was that they said to me, you would know that I cannot forgive them. And when I get the chance, I would like to get even with that person or those people. So when somebody wrongs you, either physically or emotionally abused, we've written it down in our heart saying, I won't forget what they did to me. And when the opportunity comes, I would like to get even with those people. But the thing is, what we have to remember here is when you're out to get even with somebody, when you're out to try to get even with somebody that's hurt you or offended you or abused you, that's exactly what you're doing. You're getting even because you're basically getting to that person or people's level. But today, as we go forth through this, there is freedom in forgiving. Freedom. So there's two choices. There's, on one hand, freedom, or the other hand, bondage. So we all have that choice. We all have that choice to either be set free or be stuck in bondage. But I know what we all would like to be, and that's free. So we come to my first point. So for us to experience the freedom in forgiving, it all comes to coming to grips with, firstly, the definition of forgiving. I'm going to start off with what forgiving is not. So forgiving does not mean that you instantly stop hurting emotionally. So when you're forgiving someone, it doesn't mean instantly that your memory just kind of goes away and it just doesn't hurt us anymore, because deep wounds take a very long time to heal. So for example, if you've cut yourself or you've cut yourself deep and you go to the hospital and you get either stitches for the wound doesn't just disappear after you've just had the stitches or the dressing of that cut. But it takes a while. Sometimes it can take up to a week. Sometimes it can take up to a month or even longer, depending how deep that wound is. And that's just like when we're not forgiving someone. It could be so deep that, you know, it takes so long, and sometimes we can hold it in because of how deep that cut is. So again, deep wounds take a very long time to heal. Another thing, forgiving does not mean that you just, again, instantly forget. I can go back to the same wound. So for example, you've cut yourself, you've got your dressing on that wound. If, for example, you hit your hand by accident, you kind of remember that wound is still there. So again, forgiving does not mean that you forget what someone has done to you or a remark that someone's made to you or someone has hurt you. You always kind of remember it. But the thing is, when you do forgive, you no longer use that memory against them. So I repeat again. So when you do forgive, you no longer use that memory of that person that's cut you or that person has hurt you. You never longer use that memory against that person. So what does it mean to forgive? And Pastor Ray kind of mentioned it earlier to the children to kind of answer, and it was a bit difficult for them, but I've got a few pointers here what it means to forgive. So the word that Peter and Jesus use here means to dismiss, means to give up something, means to send it away or release something. So when we forgive that person, we release it and we no longer have it onto us as bondage. We just release it. And again, as I said previously, we don't use that memory against that person or peoples. So this word was also used to describe Peter and Andrew leaving their nets after Jesus called them to be his disciples in Matthew 4:20. And it says, then they immediately left their nets and followed him. This word is also used to describe the death of Jesus Christ in Matthew 27:50. It says, and then Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. As I said from the first point, it means to dismiss, give up. So as you can see in those pointers, it's releasing something, it's giving up something. Just how Jesus, in a loud voice, gave up his spirit as he died on the cross for us. So what we realize here from Peter and Andrew as they left their nets, they did not forget their nets or their boat. So when Jesus said, follow him, they didn't just say, oh, I forgot how to fish, or I forgot I had a boat, or I forgot I had nets. They did not forget, but they chose to leave them behind. So learn this about forgiveness. It's a choice. So forgiveness is a choice that we all have and we can come to grips with. And if you have not chosen to release that offense, if you haven't chosen to dismiss it, then you have not forgiven them or that person, and you're still in bondage to them. The forgiveness that Jesus is talking about here means to dismiss it, to leave it behind, to send it away, to release it. So you might be saying, how do I know if there's somebody or some people that I've not, you know, forgiven? Well, if there's somebody or some people that has offended you, hurt you, abused you, somebody who's wronged you, it could be either in your childhood or in your workplace. It could be 10, 15, 20 years ago. It could be a long time. It could be anywhere. And you've never let them off the hook. And to this day, when you think of that person or people, you think of that offense and you resent them for it, then you've never forgiven them. And therefore, rather than freedom, you're in bondage to them. Remember, I said it in my first points, we all have a choice. We can have freedom or bondage. So when we don't forgive, we are still stuck in bondage and we're not free in what Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to be free. So which leads me to my second point. So we had the definition, what we just had previously. And my second point is the duty. It's our duty to forgive. So let's read in Matthew 18, verse 21 to 22. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' And in verse 22, it says, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.'" And as Pastor Ray mentioned that again earlier as well, and Thierry wonderfully got it right with the number of 490 times. So if you think about it, that is a lot of times. That's like an unlimited amount of times to forgive, because you cannot count how many times that you're going to forgive that person. You can try 1, 2, 3, say, "I can count up to 490. You will never be able to count how many times to forgive someone. So what the Lord is basically saying here, that it's an unlimited amount of times to forgive someone. It's our duty as children of God. And that's what Jesus was saying to Peter, that to follow him is to follow him like Christ. So Jesus was saying to follow him is to forgive him, or forgive people like how he forgave us. Now you might say, "Wait just a minute. Why is it my duty to, you know, forgive someone 490 times or unlimited times? Who's hurt me, who's offended me, who's abused me?" But I tell you why. It's because Jesus forgave you and I. How many times has the Lord forgiven us for things that disappoint him, for things that doesn't go towards his word? And we do that constantly. We constantly are asking the Lord for forgiveness. So, as you and I are to forgive others because Jesus forgave us, and because now you are a forgiven person, you are now to be a forgiving person, because it's our duty if we want to be like Christ or strive to be like Christ. Look what it says in Colossians 3, verse 12 to 14. It says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do." As you can see, it says there, "must do." Again, in Ephesians 4, verse 29 to 32, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of the mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiven one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. So that, as you can see, it says it a lot in scripture that we must be forgiven like Christ has forgiven us. So, as I said in my first point, to get to grips with it, we have to have first the definition of forgiven. So leaving it, releasing that offense, not using it against that person or people, releasing it and not using that memory towards them. And secondly, knowing that it's our duty, because Christ has forgiven us our sins. We're the ones that deserve to be on that cross, not him. But because he loved us so much that he went on that cross to die for each and every one of our sins. So he forgave us, even though that we don't deserve to be forgiven. And thirdly, to my final point, is the danger in not forgiving. So as we go to our main passage, and it says about in verse 23, just gonna give it a highlight. So it says, Jesus tells a parable to illustrate this point, that there was a man who owed the king 10,000 talents. That's more money than he could ever repay in a lifetime. And it says the king was moved with compassion and wiped out the entire debt. So not part of it, not some of it, not, you know, half of it. He wiped out the entire debt. And verse 27 says, then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Forgiven of a debt that he could not pay. Now you'd think a man like this would be very quick to, you know, forgive any debts. He's just been forgiven 10,000 talents. So that's equivalent to nowadays about, I think it's about, say, 150 million. That's something that he cannot work towards. And at that time, 10,000 talents, he would have to work, it said something like 6,000 years to be able to repay what he owed. And the king there erased all of it, all the 10,000 talents. So he didn't use that memory against him. He just erased all of that. And that same man, you would have thought he would be quick to forgive anyone, anything that someone has done to him, whether big, whether small. But look how he responds in verse 28. So in verse 28, it says, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. So just after he's just been forgiven, he actually went out of his own way. So he thought, okay, I've been forgiven. Let me just, you know, find someone else that owes me money. He kind of just totally forgot what just took place. So it says, but a servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And 100 denarii in nowadays is about 100 pounds. So he was given like 150 million, and then he went out to go and find someone who owed him 100 pounds. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So this same person who just experienced forgiveness for a debt that he could not pay and refused to show forgiveness towards a man who owed him about 100 pounds, 100 denarii. and look what he did. He took him by the throat. So again, he physically went and took him by the throat and said, you pay me what you owe or else. So we might be saying, this guy is so wicked. How could he be so ungrateful? But then we have to remember, we are so much like this man. We are so much like this man. I mean, the Almighty God has forgiven us for all our debt that we could never pay. All our debt that we could never pay. And when he turned around and we turn around and we refuse to forgive all those little offenses that come our way. So we forget the same thing that this man forgot. And that is the forgiveness and mercy God has shown to each and every one of us. Because I know we hear about forgiveness a lot of times in the Bible and we just kind of go by it by, we hear it all the time. But if we truly, truly remember what Christ done on that cross for us, anything that someone does to us, we should be willing to forgive. It's not easy. It's not an easy task, but we can always ask the Lord to help us to forgive. And as I said previously in my first points, that, you know, we can't use the memory against that person. And we know that it takes time because deep wounds take a long time to heal. So back to this point, it says, so he owed him thousands, millions, and in a blink of an eye, his debt was forgiven, released, erased, dropped. And he turns right around for 100 denarii and he refused to forgive his servants. So again, because we are a forgiven people, we are obligated to the King to be a forgiven person. Who do we think we are to not forgive, you know? We put ourselves on a higher plane than Jesus himself when we refuse to forgive. If Jesus Christ, God in flesh, has forgiven us, how much more are we to forgive those who have wounded us, who have wronged us? How much more? So we go into Matthew 18, verse 32 to 35. So it says, then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all the debt that was due to him. So as you can see there, if we refuse to forgive, if we refuse to release that offense, we are the ones who suffer. So it's best that we do ourselves a favor and to be free by just releasing it, just letting go. And as you can see in verse 35, it says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying that those who refuse to forgive will become victims of torture. And you might be thinking, what kind of torture is he talking about? he's talking about the inner torment that comes with holding a grudge, harboring hatefulness, not letting go. That's the kind of torture that steals your joy and your peace. So when we don't forgive, it steals our joy, it steals our peace. And the Lord wants us to be free in everything. Not only just in forgiving, but in everything. He wants us to be free. But the thing is, our problem is we like to collect a lot of debts. We're like debt collectors. We like to collect a lot of debts. And why do I say this? Because many times we, you know, spend time collecting IOUs. So when I'm saying this is, we like to keep a record of every time that somebody offends us or hurts us or wrongs us. So it's like having a piece of paper and we write down the names of that person or that people that have, you know, have wronged us. And from that point on, whenever they offend us again, we put a check, like a tick box. Once, two, three, we put a checkbox on their name. And every time we think of them, we say, I owe that person something. I need to get even with them. But what forgiveness is, what true freedom forgiveness is having that piece of paper that I mentioned and tearing up all those IOUs. And when we're willing to do that, then God is willing to set us free. There's absolutely nothing that will set us free that is like forgiveness. Just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ forgave each and every one of us. I like this psalm, as David was saying to the Lord, he was saying in Psalm 86, verse 5, it says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive." And a question we need to ask ourselves, are we ready to forgive like how the Lord is ready to forgive us countless and countless of times, the 490 times, unlimited times to forgive? And as I was saying, it's not easy. It's not easy to forgive. Deep wounds take a long time to heal. But what we're thankful for is that we have the perfect example in Jesus Christ. And as we strive to be more like him, as we strive to be more like Jesus himself, he is the one that can give us the strength. He's the one who can give us the strength to forgive like him. And only then will we can strive to be like him in forgiving. That's when we can have the freedom in forgiving. So again, it's a choice. We can either be free or we can be stuck in bondage. But we all know that we would like to be free. So let's just remember that Jesus Christ died for us, forgiving us for all the debt that we could not pay. He erased it. He left it behind for each and every one of us. So if we want to be followers of Christ, we have to be willing to also forgive like him, just like he forgave us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for this time of learning more about forgiveness, Lord. Hey, Father, Lord, you took that ultimate sacrifice as you lay your life down for each and every one of us, Lord. It was your blood that was spilled, Lord, in a time where we are the ones that are supposed to be on that cross. We are the ones that don't deserve your grace or your mercy, Lord. But because you loved us, you died for each and every one of us so that we can be set free. And we have to no longer be in bondage. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you and continue to remind ourselves that forgiveness is not easy. But as we said, we have the perfect example in you, Lord. And you are the one that can give us the strength to forgive. No matter how big, no matter how small the offense is, Lord, you forgave us. So help us to forgive others like you. So Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for all you do, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have you in our lives, Lord. And if there's anyone that is listening that does not know you personally as their Lord and Savior, or that does not know who you are, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you show yourself to them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you shine your light upon their life, Lord, so that they can know true freedom, Lord. So that they can also have that peace, that joy of everlasting life that you want us all to be. Lord, you want us all to be there in heaven with you, Lord, hey, Father. So I just pray, Lord, that you touch people's souls, Lord, that they can turn their ways towards you, Lord, and know that you are God. So, Lord, I just pray that you can just keep a constant reminder of forgiveness in our hearts. Constant reminder that we would like to be set free. Constant reminder of what you've done on the cross. Not just as we remember on Easter, but let us continually remember your ultimate sacrifice for us and help us to strive to be more like you, Lord, Heavenly Father. So we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As we consider that incredibly beautiful, challenging, and powerful word this morning, let us reflect as we come to our final hymn on the challenge to forgive. And as we reflect, as we consider the words, come to the altar of the Lord, the only place that unforgiveness and heartache and pain can be dealt with, is effectively at the altar of Christ, at the foot of the cross. Let us reflect on these incredibly challenging words we've heard this morning, this amazing challenge. Let us quietly stand and reflect now on this amazing, precious challenge. Come to the altar and let unforgiveness melt away. Come, let's stand. At home on Zoom, let us ask God to let the hardness of unforgiveness be melted away by the Holy Spirit and Christ's work in us. Let's reflect now in Jesus' name.